Our scripture about John the Baptist ends with these words. So with many other exhortations, John proclaimed the good news to the people. And we affirmed that when, after the reading, we said, "Praise to you, O Christ, this is the gospel of the Lord." But I hope you smiled at least when you heard John the Baptist's words described as good news, or at least wondered, how can that be? John begins his message to the crowds by calling them a brood of vipers. He calls them a family of venomous snakes. They think that they are daughters and sons of Abraham by virtue of their pedigree. But John says that they are offspring of poisonous reptiles. Don't think for a moment, John says, that you can rely on your heritage just because you can trace your lineage to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob does not impress the prophet or God. He can make children of Abraham out of these stones that are littering the ground. And so what does God want through this prophet? He wants our lives to bear good fruit. Fruit that comes out of true faith and repentance, an expectation of the Messiah. He wants our lives to be a blessing to one another. When people ask John what they should do, he's very descriptive and very concrete to them. If you have more clothing than you need, share it. If you have more food than you need, give it away. When people see others in need and they have the resources, they should simply do the right thing. We should all simply love our neighbor and do to them what we would want them to do to us. There's really nothing earth-shattering about John's message. Tax collectors are told not to collect more money than they're supposed to. Soldiers are told not to intimidate or threaten or falsely accuse people, and to be content with their wages. John simply tells people to see their jobs not as personal gain, but as a way of glorifying God and serving our neighbor, serving others. This is John connecting the truth of God's word, the spirit and the letter of the law, with people in their daily lives, whether they be soldiers, tax collectors, or just common folk. How different would it be for us, for the city of Chicago, for this nation, and for this world, if we saw our various vocations, our various jobs, and callings in life, not for personal gain and enrichment, but as a way of blessing our neighbor? Sadly, there's something that prevents us from doing this and from fulfilling the prophet's vision of a more loving world. It's the bad news. John must preach bad news because we cannot understand the good news unless we come to grips with our darker side. The common thread throughout John's message is the sinful self-centeredness. We're so busy getting more stuff, more money, more power, that we lose our way and we trample others or we bypass others. Our energy is directed at ourselves. We're so preoccupied with personal gain that we run the risk of not seeing the need and the suffering and the injustice that is all around us. And John says, look outside of yourselves. Look at what you're doing. Make sure it's a blessing to others. John makes a connection between our daily lives and the Word of God. That's what a prophet does. He wants us to see the relevance of God's royal law, or what we call the golden rule, to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, John wanted common people, tax collectors, soldiers, and everyone to see that no matter what you do, it will have an impact on those around you, for good or for bad. That we are either filling this world with more venom and toxicity, or we're helping make this world into a better place. And how relevant is that today? Who of us would not like to see less needy people? Less abuse of power. Less preoccupation for personal gain and enrichment. Less greed. Less threats. Less accusation. How relevant is that for us today? And who of us could not use more generosity, more empathy, more kindness, more empowerment, more contentment for what we have, more love, fruit in keeping, and in worthy of repentance? The good news is that is what John came to prepare us for. He called us to imagine a new world, a better world, right here and right now, and that we would get to participate in what God is doing. We would create more loving communities, more selfless people, a society that is not in competition with one another, but is teaming up with one another. And so people came to John for this baptism of repentance. They came to him in the ugliness and the filth and the poison of their sin, and they left with it washed away in the River Jordan. They walked away with forgiveness and a clearer vision of what God wants each of our lives to be like and make a real difference in the kingdom of God. But the good news gets even better. There's one coming who's even more powerful than John, an even better preacher and prophet. He's so mighty that John is overcome with his unworthiness, feeling that he can't even remove his sandal for him in a simple act of service. John baptizes with water, and he preaches a baptism of repentance. But the one coming will not only baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The one coming will produce an even more, greater fruit worthy of repentance. The impact of his ministry will be even more far-reaching. The life transformation he brings will not just be for those who are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will wash away sin from those from every tribe, nation, tongue, and people. Male, female, Jew, Greek, slave, or free. And so John points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He's the one who comes to make all things new, a better world today, and a brand new world soon and quickly. Startled at the solemn warning, let earthbound soul arise. Christ, its Son, all sloth dispelling, shines upon the morning skies. And so we pray. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.